In 2011, the nation of Japan was hit by a 9.0 earthquake, which resulted in a tsunami that killed thousands. One man from southern Japan who was greatly affected by this tsunami lost his wife. And the way to mourn, he bought a phone booth, an old phone booth, and set it up on a cliff where the wind blew. And he called it the wind telephone. And he said that it was his only way with communicating with his wife. And slowly, people who were also affected by the tsunami came to the phone booth, and they talked to their lost
loved ones,
family members, anything. A news organization found out about it, and they were given permission to record the conversations that these people had with the dead. This is In the Dark Podcast.
That was a very long intro.
Yeah, just a bit.
A single fun fact.
We decided on this podcast we were going to talk about death. And primarily, what you would say to loved ones who are dead.
We've also got a very special guest star today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey guys.
It's the Grim
Chandler.
Reaper.
Yep. Grim, also known as the Grim Reaper or the Destroyer. I'm Chandler. Yeah, I'm just here talking. Well,
hi, Chandler.
We're missing Maple at the moment. Yeah, she won't be here until
Maple will be here probably halfway through the podcast, she said, so.
Well, there are six seconds until the pizza rolls are done.
We got a lot.
Well, we just blew a lot of time.
We got a lot done.
Before the podcast starts, we're going to go get our pizza rolls.
And then eat them for ASMR moments.
Sponsored by Totino's.
Tortino.
Not actually.
Tortellino.
Sponsored
more
by.
More like Hurricane Tortilla.
Sponsored by Italy.
Tortino's
this
pizza
rolls.
This
is a disgrace on Italy.
We're not sponsored by anything. We'll grab those in a second.
No, we have to go grab them now or they'll burn.
But we would like to be sponsored, right?
Yes, we would love to be sponsored.
If you would like to sponsor us,
Totino's?
Please come on the podcast. Why if you want to defend yourself, right? Please come on the podcast.
Yeah, if you want to sponsor us, we're probably going to be putting up our business email.
I'm in the same position as you are. What?
Business,
yeah.
I was like,
so,
I'm
like sound talk. So I guess we'll start off with talking about... No, we're not going to pause it. We're going to just do it while Artemis is gone.
I feel like...
I got it.
It's fine. It's fine. So on this podcast, we decided to talk about death and what we would say to dead people, what we say to them, not acknowledging that they're dead, what we say to them, knowing that they're dead, and what we would say to them if we met them in the afterlife. But we would start. I thought we would start off talking about this man who built a wind telephone, as he called it, in Japan. Where many people went to talk to the loved ones that died in the tsunami. It was a very emotional podcast that I listened to. They translated it on an NPR podcast called
One Last Thing Before I Go.
Yeah, that's it. And it's found on This American Life. Go listen to it. Totally recommend it. Really good. For such an emotionally reserved culture, it was amazing to see so much emotion poured out. I thought I would talk about first how they talked. A lot of them talked big things. They talked about how sad they were, how lonely they were. But there was a reoccurring theme of small talk. So I thought we would start off. Why do you guys think that when you talk to someone who's dead, you try to use small talk?
Sorry, was it 2011?
It was.
Oh my god, if it's 2007, I'm gonna...
Yeah.
I'm gonna be so mad.
Okay, it was 2011, sure. We'll go with it.
Okay.
Sorry, it was on the 11th of
March. Years ago, it was 2011.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 3/11/11.
Cool. Small talk.
Yep.
Well, it's kind of just
so
awkward.
I think, like, in Japan, you don't say, I love you, directly. You say, have you eaten, or are you keeping warm? Things like that. I think that's what the small talk is about. Like, I don't really know how to say it so well because I'm bad with words. But small talk in Japan is like showing how you care, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You would never really say, please leave my house. You would say, okay, are you ready for your second cup of tea? That's what they would say in Osaka. It's like, that's kind of a mean way of asking them to get out of your house, but not really. It's respectful, but mean. And our pizza rolls
pizza
are
rolls.
Here.
Pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls.
Oh my god. Hey, Artemis.
Uh-huh?
Why do you think that when we talk to the dead, we use small talk?
Well, I think part of the reason could be, like, we just don't want to imagine they're gone. And so we would talk to them like we would normally. But also maybe some kind of subconscious curiosity as to what lies beyond.
Chandler, our special guest. Let's get some of your
opinion. Well, yeah, I think that was a good point. I think a lot of the reason people would use small talk when talking to the dead is because they don't want to actually acknowledge the fact that they're dead, and they don't want to accept that that person isn't replying and isn't really talking back to them, objectively at least. And when you're using small talk, you're not talking about any of the deep issues of life, and you're not talking about anything that you would really need to know or any crucial information, but you're just communicating for the sake of communicating, and really just being able to connect with feeling like you're already connected with the person and nothing's going wrong. And because you don't really use small talk in times of distress or when you're really sad or something, you use small talk when nothing's wrong or when things are going well and you're content with the situation.
Kind of represents like a happier time.
Yeah, being able to reflect that happier time mm-hmm. out into what you're saying to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Chandler kind of talked about this on the way here. You know, you don't really ask big questions, I think, like big important questions that need answers, mainly because you have this subconscious understanding that you won't get an answer. That where with small talk, you can really throw a bunch of small talk at a person and not need an answer for any of the questions, because it's just a way of communicating. It's just a way of acknowledging that you both exist and you are communicating with each other and you both acknowledge each other's existence.
Okay, so I just came in kind of halfway through this. So are we still talking about the wind phone mm-hmm. or?
Yes.
So this is the conversations they recorded?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not to be the cynical one here. Actually, yes, to be the cynical one here. They were probably just making small talk because they didn't want to be embarrassed by hearing it, by making everyone hear their, like, deep conversations they wanted to have.
Mm. That makes sense.
Maybe, yeah.
I didn't listen to it.
You didn't listen to it? No. I would totally recommend it. It is so good.
But
it is definitely sad.
That brings another question. What would you think they would have said if they didn't know they were being recorded?
Probably a lot more. They'd probably be like, your wife misses you.
They
realistically
did.
Probably just a lot more crying.
No,
rather
like
than talking.
A bunch of the people that went in, they were crying and they were like breaking apart. But the first group that went in was like a mother. Well, the wife of someone who had died and her two grandsons, and they were just telling their dead grandpa that they were going to school and, like, how they're doing. And it's like, I think small talk is a way to maybe pretend that they're still there, but maybe far away or someplace where they can't reply immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Japanese culture,
they are still there. Yeah.
They are very still there. And so it's kind of it's just a representation of another outlet for these people to talk to their loved ones. Like when there's a certain day, it's like a Memorial Day, where they go to the cemeteries and they burn candles and light fireworks and they talk to their loved ones while the time is still available. And then they set off lanterns into the sky and it's really beautiful. I forget what it's called, but they're still really connected to anyone who's dead. They're not really gone. And
mm-hmm. I just remembered a fact. They asked for permission to use the audio after they were already in the booth. So they went in the booth, said what they wanted to, and then came out, and then they were asked permission to use it.
Well, there we have it.
So it is real, genuine conversation. Now, I think we should move on to the larger topic at hand. What would you say to a dead loved one? What would you ask? Are there questions that you have that can't be answered unless you talk to them?
I had my great grandma. Yeah. She died like 3 weeks ago, and I honestly just felt like, I'm sorry I wasn't there for that. I really wish I could have seen you and talked to you before you could have gone. I had a lot of regrets just because she's a cool person. I wasn't able to just hang out with her a lot because she lived in Oregon, and I don't. Yeah. It's kind of weird having someone close to you die, but not close. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I relate with that because two years ago in December, my grandmother died. She had been bound to a wheelchair for like half of her life because she had really, really bad arthritis. And then recently, or at that time, her liver had just quit and she died. And, you know, it was sad, but it was like at the end of the day, I never had a real connection to her. But there's still questions I'd like to ask, and none of them pertaining to my family now. More of, I just would like to get to know her, you know, ask her about her life, how she grew up, if she was happy with how her life turned out.
Yeah, I was lucky to actually spend like a week before she died. I was up there for around a week, and I actually learned a lot about her. She was really cool. She basically ran the town that she lived in. And she lived in a very old house, one of the oldest houses in that area of Oregon. It was pretty cool. And she built it herself with her husband. Yeah.
That's crazy.
She's very old. Yeah, it's kind of hard, like, thinking that she's not going to be there the next time I go up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, just disappeared while I was away. Anyone else have deaths, like, in their family?
That they'd like to talk about. You don't have to.
I've never had anyone die, like, in my direct family. But when I was growing up, we had a neighbor across the street. Oh my god, calm down. Her name was Josephine, and she was like another grandma for me.
Oh.
I didn't grow up knowing her because we lived there for only a year, and then we moved to this area, but we always went back and visited her, and she died last month, and like we were really close. Every time, like, she's old and she doesn't understand computers, and she'd ask my dad to come over at least once or twice every 3 months. She really didn't understand computers, and her printer kept breaking. And so every time my dad would have to go fix her computer, we'd chat and we'd play old-timey board games. There was a Barbie one that was like, Natalie always wanted that one. But she died last month, and I just want to ask her more about what she liked growing up, because I never got to hear that much. I got to hear after her moving here and upwards, but I never got to hear about her early life.
Can we have a seance the next podcast?
Yes.
Let's have a seance.
I'll see if I can get a medium to come on the podcast.
Yes. Oh my goodness, an 1800s.
Does anybody else want pizza rolls? Because only me and Jay have been eating them.
I think we can pass them around the circle. Yes, since that's a it's good so dark, idea. And then you can just.
But in the 1800s, medium and what's it called? Seances were super popular. It was like a kind of like a fad at the time. You know, like Fortnite, I guess, is
that's
now.
That's creepy.
Yeah. They would literally have seances like every weekend
just
with
like
the people.
Like kids at school, it's like, no, I had a seance yesterday.
It was mainly lit. Adults.
I mean, that's what I want.
It kind of sparked the medium in interest, although at the time it was like the mediums were the Romani people in England and whatnot. Yeah. They're pretty neat. Sorry for breaking off the subject.
Yeah. Is anybody else want to talk about?
I don't know if anyone wants one.
So does anybody else want to contribute to?
Is this pertaining to what we would ask them about their lives and?
Yeah, like or just anything. Anything you would ask.
Anything related. Anything relating to death.
Yeah.
Well, when I was 8 years old, I was in elementary school in Nebraska, and I had a friend named, his name was Caleb, and we weren't the best of friends, but we had hung out a few times. He was in my ward. We had gotten to know each other, and one day he was with his mom, and he was driving to a scout activity, and his mom stopped at one of the stop signs, and when she proceeded, there's a car that didn't stop for a stop sign, and it hit directly, and he died there instantly. So, and it was really unexpected. It was really devastating to me, actually. But if I had the opportunity to speak with him now, I feel like the first few things that I'd ask him would be relating to, first of all, what is the afterlife? Because obviously, since I'm speaking to him, there is one. I'd ask what the experience of death is like. And also, I'd ask him, knowing what you know now, as someone who has died and experienced death, what advice would you give to someone such as myself throughout my life before I die? What's the best piece of information you can give me as someone on the other side?
That's good.
It'd be really interesting.
It's kind of off topic, but what do you think it would be better to do, to die instantly or to die in like a hospital after
instantly.
Pain?
Instantly.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I would rather be in a hospital and then die in a hospital after a pain.
You know, they say
just
that
that way I can like say bye, even though I'm in a lot of pain. There's like, I let people see me before I die.
It's almost a known fact that after you die, you're still conscious for a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's also known 11 fact. Minutes, I
it's,
think.
Is it 11 minutes?
I want to say.
Yeah.
According to a test done by someone in the French, in France, he would go to the people who were going to the guillotine, and he would tell them to start blinking rapidly once they, once the guillotine went down on their neck, just to start blinking and don't stop. And he recorded that after even 11 minutes, they would still be blinking.
Wow.
Well, with the head chopped off, I thought it was 11 seconds.
It was 11 minutes.
It was 11 minutes?
Yeah, that's I read really a book
gross.
On it. Yeah.
It is really gross.
Although, they were spaced in between.
It's also a known fact that you poop yourself when you die, and I don't want that to happen, so I'm going to have to excavate my palace.
Your hair,
completely.
Your ears, and your fingernails continue to grow when you're dead.
I don't know about your fingernails. I think it's just that you're contracting, and it makes it look longer for the fingernails.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah, I read about that.
But
yeah.
Did you know your nose and your ears don't stop growing for your entire life?
Yeah, that's why old people have such big ears and noses.
Yep.
I wonder what I'll look
there's
like.
So, here's another question. What would you ask somebody, anybody, who has died? What would you talk to them about?
Let's talk to Stephen Hawking.
That'd be cool.
That was recent.
That'd be hella tight.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think he has his old voice back?
You definitely have his old voice back.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be so cool.
Like, I mean, that's a very, like, Christian, or maybe just specifically Mormon belief.
Here's the real question. What do you think the afterlife is?
Hmm.
Or what would you hope for it to be?
Now,
I'd say, like
Chandler, you're a master debater, aren't you?
Not really.
for the podcast, let's just try to say that the afterlife, let's just try to keep it broad, is just a big room with the people you want to talk to. That's just what let's just say that's what the afterlife is.
Sounds boring. I'd rather sleep forever.
Well, for this, for our discussions, just have that as as a
last pizza roll.
We can just assume that the afterlife is it is possible. We can talk to people from the afterlife despite what it is.
I'm gonna take that as
Let's say you're still alive. You're not dead yet, but you're still alive and you're talking to somebody who's dead. Anybody, who would you want to talk to and why?
Anybody who
Buddha. I would talk to Buddha. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's dead, though. He's enlightened. He's not dead.
Well, just keeping, like, religion aside...
No,
just,
he's not dead. He's gone. he ascended into space, and... That's what Stephen Hawking was looking for. I have no clue.
I think Moses had sex with God, and then they went up into heaven.
That sounds pretty...
I think you're
That's
false.
Not true. I'm sorry, all Jews and Christians.
But Buddha would be really cool too, just like that time period. It was like 680, I think. Mm-hmm. And just meeting that person. No, I think that was Muhammad in 680. Or whatever.
Muhammad was... It's like he's the oldest religious figure, isn't he?
No.
He's way older than...
Muhammad is 610 AD.
I'm talking like figurehead though, like Jesus Christ. He's older than...
What about Abraham?
No, wait, no, he's not older than Jesus Christ. Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're... Yeah, Abraham.
Abraham came, like, way before Jesus.
Yeah. Although Abraham is technically that, two religions.
Well, Abraham, yeah, is before
And a bunch of religions, like, are based off of the Abrahamic God. Like, Muslims believe in Allah, which is the God of Abraham.
Yeah.
And, like, Jews and Christians.
Mm-hmm. Like, Ein Sof Er is the God before God before God. It's a weird Hebrew thing.
So who I would talk to. So there's lots of people I would like to talk to. The first person I would talk to is Calico Jack.
He was
first of all a pirate. Second of all, he married the only European female pirate, who was Anne Bonny, Captain Bonny. He is the reason that the skull and crossbones is the symbol for pirates. He was the first person to make it, and one of the only persons to have their pirate flag, the skull and crossbones.
The Jolly Roger?
Yeah, the Jolly Rogers, yeah, what they called it. I don't know if you guys knew that, but every pirate had a different flag.
Yeah.
They didn't all fly under the same flag, because they're pirates. But I would talk to him because he is my favorite pirate, and also because I write pirate-themed stuff, and because I just absolutely love that piratey kind of theme, I would like to talk to him just to know what it was like to live back then.
Yeah,
and be a pirate.
Sorry, I'm gonna butt in. After the Crusades, most of the Crusaders, I think it was the Second Crusades, most of the Crusaders went off to become pirates, and they would often have a symbol of the P. And crossed by two bones, which was a derivative of Christ on the, on the cross, the crucifix.
Yeah, I believe I've seen those kind of symbols
yeah,
before.
They're pretty cool, but
P with the two bones.
Some knights became pirates, and it was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I would also talk to... I would talk to suicide victims. And the reason is so I can understand the similarities and also I just be able to relate with somebody who lived their life in such a low place that it ended up them taking their life, and then to see such a radical change of what I would believe you'd be happy in the afterlife.
If you could bring someone back from the dead, who would it be?
Adolf Hitler?
What?
I'm kidding. No.
Someone besides Nick. I mean, Zion.
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Stephen Hawking, he just died recently. He doesn't have enough time. He doesn't know what it's like.
Harambe.
Oh my god, I was just about to say that. I would say Martin Luther King Jr.
Ooh.
Stephen Irwin.
So how long after they come back to life do they live? Or just
forever.
Like for a short... Forever?
forever. No, I was.
That's like cursing them.
Yeah. What about 10 years? Like 10 years is like just.
I don't know. I would maybe go a year, see how they feel about.
A month.
They give it. They get a choice after the end of the year.
If you've come back to life, tell us how long you've lived.
Yeah.
Or it can just be they're brought back to life until they die of other causes other than their internal health.
Oh, like mm-hmm. born again, sense. Except not born.
I would bring back Jesus so I could ask him
if he was real.
He was real.
Wasn't he proved
no
to be real?
No matter what your views
he's yeah, real, he's, but he's real. I don't know if he's the son of God.
Whether or not son of God, that's a different question.
That would be so cool. Like,
an actual person. Yeah, right.
Everybody knows Jesus Christ was a real person, but...
Yeah, okay. This
would be like his third time coming back.
No, this would be his second time coming back.
Yeah, respawn.
Oh, sorry, the second coming hasn't happened yet.
No, but it would be. It would technically be the second coming.
Would we be bringing the second coming if we chose to bring Jesus back?
Jesus,
right,
please
now?
Be on the podcast.
Yeah, come be on the podcast. Don't bring the second coming, though.
That's
a horror.
Yeah, like, Jay, who would you bring?
Probably Walt Disney, I think.
Oh, that's good.
He didn't like Jews.
I did ask him about, like, classic animating and stuff.
That has not been proven.
He also blacklisted all of his competitors during the Cold War, so they were all marked as communists, so they were all put out of business.
Maybe Robin Williams instead.
Oh, yeah.
Robin Williams.
Yeah. Although, he wouldn't be like teach you comedy? That would be great. You could have, like, the best...
I just
want
to talk to him.
I just want to ride bikes with him. But you know, he loved biking. He loved bikes.
I like bikes. They're fun.
He's a big bike fan.
I don't want to drive cars. I just want to ride bikes. Although that's...
It would reduce pollution.
It would.
Yeah.
Except it's far away and very cold. Mm-hmm. Everything is.
I'm trying to think of somebody who died as a child who really deserved more in life.
Anne Frank?
Anne Frank.
Helen Keller.
Anne Frank didn't die. Everybody knows she lived and changed her name.
Just like Buddha.
Just like Buddha.
Chandler, what about you?
Plot twist, Anne Frank.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think.
I had two big ones that I thought would be really interesting. I think one, Albert Einstein, because just imagine how fascinating it would be for Albert Einstein, one of the leading scientists in the time that he was alive in the 20s.
And let's hope he has his head.
Just imagine how fascinating it would be for him to come back to the modern age and see first of all, his discoveries have been utilized to further science, and second of all, just to see how far the human race as a whole has come to and how much has progressed since then.
Say we brought Einstein back, and then he witnessed one of the greatest physicists of our time's death. That'd be creepy.
And on the day before his birthday.
He died on the day of Einstein's birthday.
Oh, I thought it was the day before.
No, it was on the day.
Oh, goodness.
Here's the question. You mentioned the afterlife just in the context of this, just for the purpose of the conversation. It's just basically a big room with everyone you want to talk to. How strictly does this room follow the laws of space-time?
No.
I don't think we need to talk.
It doesn't exist. This is...
Yeah.
Okay.
This
then
poof.
I would ask somebody from the future, so I can ask how much we've learned.
Oh.
That's a good idea.
Yourself from the future.
That would be
when
good.
You bring yourself back from the dead there. From the future.
Yo.
I would bring back John Wilkes Booth and Abraham Lincoln so that they can fist fight.
Yeah, fight it out.
Amelia Earhart would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. We just found her bones recently.
Yeah, she just died a few days ago.
On International Women's Day.
Yeah.
Good job,
we
woman.
Have gone pretty far since some time ago, you know? We've progressed a bit. But we still have a bigot and an asshole for president. But that's okay.
I would resurrect...
Speaking of assholes for presidents, I would like to bring back George Washington and a bunch of the Founding Fathers just to see what they think of the state of America right now.
That would be
like
political,
I'm just wondering.
I would bring back Abraham Lincoln. I wouldn't bring back anybody before him, just because I think Abraham Lincoln was the first, the first president I really, think understood the forward direction of the United States.
Mm.
I think, lots of the forefathers, like George Washington and John Adams, I just never liked them as presidents because, first of all, George Washington never really wanted to be president. He was just kind of put in that position because he was George Washington.
And he died of, like, tooth disease and that kind of
stuff. Yeah, he had elephant infection. Well, he didn't have teeth. He died of a denture infection.
What if you brought him back, but it was as soon as they died, so as if they didn't die? Who would you
George
maybe
Washington
bring back?
With no teeth? Gross.
I would not bring back Abraham Lincoln because he would have a bullet hole in his chest.
No, not like... they as if that death... part never happened. It
so just fully
over.
Restored.
Yeah. From the point on that they died. So they would still live out their life, but just didn't die at that point.
Well, then we wouldn't get to meet them. Because they'd be old age.
James Madison would
That's
be
true.
Dope.
So if we could stop anybody from dying at
James
the moment they
the founding
did.
Fathers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. How about this?
He was
what
like
if...
And let's say it doesn't have negative repercussions.
Let's say, who would you stop from dying?
That's what I just...
Who in this world would you stop from dying?
So we're talking about at the time of their death, they didn't die and they continued to do what they were doing before.
You guys not listening?
I'm saying like living people.
They're just expounding upon it so the listeners understand.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm saying living people right now of your choice. Who would you not want to die?
Oh, okay.
Oh, living now.
Yeah, and they would they would live forever.
And then we can get to the
living
past.
It's condemned, but like, who would you want that responsibility?
Myself.
Oh, who would you want to give the responsibility of living forever, being like a historian of the forever? Let's give Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. James Bond villain.
That way, he could ship himself off into space and not like die on the spaceship.
He could make a new Earth.
But then he wouldn't have any documentation of human life because he'd be in space.
Yeah, but now there's a human in space.
He would have all of history to take it with him.
Yeah.
See, the reason I don't say Elon Musk is because he's a little bit of a narcissist
and a knob. But
he's also a genius.
He's a genius, but he's also just like a little bit of a narcissist. I would say the person I don't want to die is Barack Obama, just because he's so wholesome and he's got a good sense of humor.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
Like, he should never become president ever again.
I mean,
the he's
airstrikes
just a cool guy.
In Syria and all that stuff.
Like I'm saying, he should never become president ever again.
Good point. How about... I can't think of a person anymore.
Well, I'm back. I kind of just want to talk to Marie Curie.
Oh, yeah. She held a bunch of radioactive rocks and died.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Her chair is still radioactive to this day.
Yeah, her chair cannot be touched to this day.
That's pretty amazing, and I love it. Marie Curie is my lead, main girl.
I would like to talk to... So if we're talking to people who have died, I would, like, no joke, like, this isn't a joke, I would like to talk to Adolf Hitler so I could understand his psychology, because everybody understands his psychology secondhand, you know.
Like talking to Charles Manson after he, you know, that would be terrible.
You know,
I would not want to talk to
Charles Manson. I know that name, but I can't remember
what
he
did.
He was a serial killer, but
was
like,
was he the cultist serial killer that carved a swastika on his head?
Yep, it was a tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
See, I heard that his son recently got the rights to his stuff.
Weird.
But I was he Charles Manson, was he Heaven's Gate?
I don't know what that is.
Like
Heaven's
the,
Gate,
the cult bought
a giant mansion in Hollywood Hills and then killed themselves on a day they believed a UFO was going over the Earth.
I think so, maybe.
I know that story, though. It was a meteor. Yeah. I think they may have thought it was a UFO, but it was like a meteor or meteorite, a comet. Anyway, but when it passed over their location, they all killed themselves because they believed like that it would take their souls to the afterlife or something.
Let's hope it did, just for the sake of them.
Yeah. They're living in a different room.
They're living in a different dimension.
Their room is like light years away.
They're on
their comet
plane.
The comet is their room.
Oh my god.
I would also talk to Vlad the Impaler.
That would be cool.
You guys know who Vlad the Impaler
is?
Yes. No.
Please,
I just wanted to know, like, if somebody in here wasn't sure.
And then
who
introduce
Vlad
him to Marshmallows,
Impaler
like that awesome comic.
My chemistry teacher has a hedgehog named Vlad the Impaler.
That's a beautiful.
And
that's
another
cute.
One named Velcro. Aww, they're siblings, I think.
Oh my god.
Super cute.
I would like to talk to Queen Victoria.
Ted Bundy.
Ooh, that would be scary.
He attended University of Utah.
Yeah, I know, yeah, and he the girls he abducted were from BYU.
Yeah.
Utah Valley University.
I really like the idea of like being able to talk to a serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be so interesting. I think even more so than Adolf Hitler.
The Zodiac Killer.
Because I feel like...
He might not be dead yet, though. We never figured out who he was.
Yeah, Ted Cruz.
Honestly, I kept mixing up Ted Bundy and Ted Cruz throughout the entire 2016 election.
It's like, Ted Bundy's alive and he's still running.
I don't know, I feel like Adolf Hitler, he was definitely very psychopathic, and he was responsible for more deaths than almost anyone else in history, and
except
he...
Stalin.
And he
Stalin,
was...
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Yeah,
yeah,
I said almost anyone.
Actually, there was a...
Trust
there was,
I could go on
what
about
was
Stalin.
What the Mongolian dude?
Genghis Khan?
Genghis Khan. Actually, I think the largest massacre in history was in the Congo, and it was during the 1800s when Denmark, or one of those countries, owned... the land at the Congo, and they basically like killed a bunch of people. I think the death count was over 30 million.
Yeah,
it was huge.
Oof.
Sorry, what were you gonna say, Chandler?
Yeah, but I was gonna say, yeah, he was really evil. He did all that, but from the pure perspective of a German nationalist or something, he was a hero, and he Germany was like in a very good spot because of him, although they were defeated. But
I would like to,
when you look at a serial killer, a serial killer like Ted Bundy, like Ted Bundy, he didn't really have anything in it for him. And serial killers like that, they're just purely psychopathic, and they kill just for the enjoyment of killing.
Yeah, because Hitler was very distanced from most of the killing, but serial killers get up close and personal
they,
with their victims.
Their only benefit from killing people is the fact that they killed people.
Yeah.
I'd like to take the middle ground and talk to the guy that owned Auschwitz. And
there's someone who owned
somebody
Auschwitz?
Owned Auschwitz?
Yes, yeah. All the camps were directed. There was a camp director. I'm talking about like the camp director of Auschwitz.
Like a warden.
Because he was the one who ordered the killing of people in Auschwitz. You know, he was the one that made the orders to kill and was there to see them.
Yeah, that'd be pretty messed up. I don't know.
I think from kind of a psychopathic point of view, just like the mindset they were in, that they were like, quote-unquote, cleansing the world, it may have even been like somewhat satisfying to
religious.
Him to watch it rather mm-hmm. than...
Yep, that's what
it's like religious.
Being a psychopath can do.
The human mind naturally has a state of wanting to see a destruction.
It's so weird.
That's why we tear up papers when we're bored and stuff. It's like a very microscopic scale of just like destruction.
Yeah. Well, the human brain's like the most complicated thing ever. It's so complex when it gets bored, it goes, okay, let's see what we can destroy and still be fine with. Like, I wonder if I can destroy that and still be okay.
Let's build a warp engine.
Maybe destroy reality. That's
yeah,
because okay.
When kids get bored, the first thing they start to do is destroy their environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard, and I'm not sure if this is true, but I heard it somewhere, and I think it'd be really interesting if it was. When they were first testing out the atomic bomb, they thought there was a chance that it could light the entire atmosphere on fire and destroy the entire planet, but they
did it
anyways.
That's terrible.
I think everyone has a bit of them that just wants to see everything gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
I want to live in a world
I just
want to
die.
Like, when I see, like, a clean lawn where no footprints are in the snow, there's part of me that, like, oh, it's satisfying to see, but there's part of me that just wants to feel the temporary satisfaction of crunching through the snow.
I would slap you if that was my
yard. The satisfaction you'd get when you'd get the first spoonful of peanut butter, you know, is you gotta be the one to destroy that.
I feel like
is that the same thing for people who like take virginity?
It
yeah,
could
honestly,
be. That
maybe.
Actually makes sense.
Yeah, maybe.
Sorry.
I think
or
it's
maybe
because
it's more of like a just a feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like because subconsciously everyone agrees to. Everyone runs society as it has been before, and everyone agrees with, you know, really kind of idealistic contracts that, okay, I'm going to give you this piece of paper and you're going to give me this, like, you know, currency and everything, but in the back of our heads, we all know that society isn't really bound by anything except to, like, an idealistic nature that isn't really bound by anything material, concrete.
It's all social.
So we all know that
anything but, you know, cotton and linen.
Yeah.
And we all know that I can destroy this right now, and nothing's, and it really isn't going to affect the universe that much.
Worth something because we say it is.
And maybe in recent, maybe only in recent human history has that psychological kind of mindset been growing. I think, like, I don't want to get political, but I think, like, with the recent presidential election, people weren't really voting for the safest option. I think they were voting for
the most entertaining,
the
most,
not the most entertaining, but the most, like, changing, and I don't want to use the word destructive, but destruct, like,
honestly,
the most
destructive.
The most
both of them are
shaking things up, like, both of them, both of the candidates would have, either way, both caused massive change.
Yeah.
And they have caused massive,
I think,
all
of
them change
would. I think the 2016 election was just so polarized that everyone either felt like, okay, we need this person, Hillary Clinton, because she is going to bring us into she's going to change the way the society runs. And then the people who don't think that society's in a horrible place look at that and they go, hey, she's trying to change it that much. No, we can't change it. We have to do this. We have to get Donald Trump, who's going to protect our values and everything. And it just keeps getting further and further until they're completely polarized.
And maybe the idea of radicalization and how in recent history everybody's become so more radicalized and so more polarized between views, finding no common ground, that that maybe that is also because of this kind of, like, innate psychological want to destroy things.
There's a cool theory on the destructions and, like, entropy, but it's the theory that life was brought onto this earth, not, like, brought onto it, but life is the subsequent, like, requirement of entropy to eventually destroy everything, because life is an accelerant of destroying it. You see how, since the last, like, 200 years, the world's gone pretty bad because of humans, and it's just, like, life is the final thing that will fulfill entropy's laws, and this is a really cool theory.
When you said that, I thought of, like, the saying, it goes, the meaning of life is that it ends.
I didn't know that was a saying.
Well, yeah.
I don't know
what. Oh, I have a good saying. It's when you stare into the void, this void stares back. I love it. It's
the void
great.
Is hiring.
Literally, the only one thing guaranteed in life is death.
Mm-hmm.
And
taxes.
That's a nice thought. To be honest, when faced with kind of situations like that, I just disassociate, and I think of, well, we're all just complicated animals living on a complicated rock, and nothing really matters because we're just animals
daytime,
governing ourselves.
Daytime
but
only happens because we happen to be facing a gigantic star.
Yeah.
But here's the question.
We only be able to comprehend stuff because there's a bunch of little tiny organisms inside of us that
and
came
we're all
together.
Made of space stuff.
Space
so,
stuff.
Do our thoughts really matter? Because we're just atoms.
Yeah.
And
Jay, if everything is space stuff, and therefore there can be different things of space stuff.
Different classifications of space stuff. What was your question?
Connected by the force.
My question was, do you think humans are innately different than animals?
I think in most cases, yes.
But some,
I think humans are lucky.
Are lucky. Yeah, we're lucky.
Humans are incredibly lucky to have evolved with such a strangely computing brain.
We're we're pretty pathetic physically.
Yeah.
We're pathetic
yeah.
physically. Oh,
you're
yeah.
Right.
Relative to every other species.
The
like,
only reason we rule the planet is because we cheated.
If you look at all of science, you can see that humans weren't made to be very strong. They're like,
no.
They were pampered to become the smartest species of all.
We're just
like opposable thumbs.
Lucky.
Those are so we can utilize our brains to the, its like best capacity.
Yeah.
If you look at all other animals, their biological evolution prioritized survival with muscles and talons
through means of physical force.
Through means of physical force. And meanwhile, for humans, for some reason,
we just got more gangly and vulnerable.
When we killed,
we got more gangly and vulnerable, but our brains increased in size.
Well, evolution doesn't work with a goal, and so there's sometimes evolution that happens, but it can't really fix it, and it was like an unnecessary and unlike beneficial thing, like grass being green. The most, like 14%. Or the majority of light from the sun is actually green light, and so it would reflect the most off the grass. And so it's kind of ridiculous to have grass be green when that would reflect the most light. So it's unbeneficial evolutionary traits that just kind of make the world happen. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
So you're saying, like, a human intelligence is just a mistake in strange gene mutation?
Yeah,
well,
basically.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the dumb ones got killed, so only the smartest breeded together.
Natural.
While
exactly.
Evolution
exactly
doesn't go with a goal, I feel like
the Darwin Awards.
That with evolution, you will always get higher probabilities in different things. So if one thing is proven to be successful in, okay, so a bigger and more efficient brain will result in higher rates of survival.
It's kind of funny. We have smaller brains than Neanderthals. Just in size,
they're much more efficient,
much more dense.
Neanderthals are dead.
I think genetically, I think genetically, thanks to like the origin of human life, it being in that in a certain area in Africa, I think because we didn't build muscular mass biologically very quickly, when we started needing it, we didn't have it, so we had to start finding different ways around it, which is why we developed tools and ways of using tools and hunting and that kind of stuff way earlier than many, many other species have taken.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
That's one of the things I think is interesting about humans is our ability to adapt to our environment, not just like in the, not just kind of in the climate way, but in like, how many other animals do you know that can climb trees and walk on land and swim and fly? I know that doesn't count, but like, we learned how to.
Mm-hmm. Fish from fresh water going to salt water kills them. What nerds!
if we couldn't protect ourselves, we had to think our ways out of situations.
We're also extremely lucky that the mass extinctions didn't get rid of mammals.
Yeah.
Just in general.
I think, like if we're saying evolution is everything, I guess like humans result of a bad hand, and they made it a great hand.
Mm-hmm. Humans...
Yeah, they just broke the game.
Yeah.
We're just fucking good at gambling.
That's a good analogy.
We're the scum.
Some gorilla got in a gambling match with God.
They didn't understand the word, like the cards, so they just
smashed the table.
Made it up.
Fine!
Fine! I guess you get a good brain.
Continue. Chandler.
Oh,
sorry.
I think humans are the scumbags of Earth.
Honestly,
because
you're right.
Humans, when we're attacked by a lion, we don't kill the lion with our bare hands. We
kill the
first of all, we kill a tree. We break off a branch, one of the parts of the tree. Then we use the dead tree to kill the lion.
And then
we manipulate the other living things around us to do what we want instead of us actually doing it.
I think that's really
yeah.
There's tame dogs,
but
yeah. Like,
that's the other thing with human evolution is that our brains evolved to take advantage of the environment that was around
yep.
us. But when we got to a point where there was so many humans all taking advantage of the environment at the same time, well, the environment, you know, there's not an infinite amount of environment. There's a part of the human psyche that likes to think there's unlimited resources, but there really isn't.
Well, you know, it's kind of neat. Minecraft has the surface area as the same surface area as Neptune. I don't know why I thought of that.
That's cool.
Neptune doesn't have a surface, though, isn't it? It's a gas giant.
Well, yeah, like,
its surface is
the
gas.
The gas, you know?
Okay. Basically. So, but what I was thinking is that my brother thinks that the Earth is kind of a host organism, and people and humans are a parasite on it.
The Mayans used to believe that.
Yeah, we are a parasite, and we are destroying our host, and it's kind of creepy.
But the thing is, We are parasites. I would definitely agree on that. We are parasites, but
it's not mutualistic, really.
We are only parasites because we're built up of parasites.
We're parasites made out of parasites.
But, think about it. What life isn't a parasite? What life won't eventually evolve to a point where it's taking advantage of the biology around it?
The one goal of every organism is to grow as big as it can and become the most powerful.
Life's only goal is to eventually extinguish itself.
Yeah, maybe that's entropy. That's what I was talking about. Entropy.
Tight.
So that's why humans are an accelerant in that. Whatever. Should we end it off here?
I think Maple can end it off. Maple just, hey, what's up? Actually, yeah, we'll wait for them to come back, but...
Okay.
Like, this was a really good conversation.
I like how we started with death and ended with life.
Yeah.
That was
pretty good. Death to serial killers, to humanity, to planets.
Yes.
I think it was a very good podcast.
Oh my god, I thought that was a face behind you. It scared me. It was your bag.
Maple's here.
Hey.
What's up?
We're ending the podcast.
2 seconds.
Guys, come end the podcast.
Oh my god.
Come end the podcast.
I'm so bright. Sorry. Oh my. I still can't see anything.
Come say goodbye.
You like our new setup?
Hey, it's gonna be finally a sextagram.
Yeah.
It's
sorry.
Hello.
A sexygram.
All right, so this has been a good podcast. Thank you, Maple, for coming and being on the podcast.
Woo-hoo.
We're kidding. Chandler.
Chandler. I finally got my ear to pop.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of fun.
Now leave.
No. So this will be Xylus signing off.
Am I supposed to talk to you?
Maple, you came on. Now sign
I've
up.
I've been on for 1.2 minutes. Wow. I'm signing off. Bye, guys.
Artemis signing off.
Jay.
Morgan.
Chandler.
See you guys.
Bye.
Hey, Chandler, you want to be on the next podcast?